This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Grody may change at any time.
It's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Grody, 10 to 2 on 670 The...
I've already alluded to it, so I'm going to do it. 28-27 Bears.
Layla!
1 point?
1 point.
I'm picking the Packers to win this game. 27 to 25.
Packers 30, Bears 27.
28-21, but the Bears winning.
Take it to him. Rolling, throwing, caught! And does he get into the end zone? He does. Christian Watson crosses the goal line for a touchdown. A fourth and six. Williams fires. And that's going to be picked at the 12-yard line in the pocket. Open, caught, Reed, touchdown. Love throwing, open, caught, Dobbs for the score.
I can't do this, Carl. I can't live this life again.
On the ground, Swift. Can he get into the end zone? He can.
We're not dead yet.
From the 23, pass to the outside, finding room here, Golden. Golden is inside the 10, and Golden will go into the end zone for the touchdown.
This is the worst.
Bill filming us the other day in these tight, tense moments. He thinks of himself on the beach.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho.
In the pocket, fires, close, touchdown. Olamide Zaccheaus into the end zone. The Green Bay Packers to try to make it 6-0. And the kick is no good. They want to get 7. They can use the clock. Williams throwing. And it's caught for the touchdown by DJ Moore. Hearts beating furiously. It's dropped. Love looking. One last guess. Moving guys around. Fires to the end zone, and it is broken up. The Bears win it in a crazy one.
Hell yeah!
There was probably a little bit more noise coming out of their building up north to start the week, which we heard loud and clear.
Definitely wanted to play the Bears. If I had my pick, you know, for any team, it would have definitely been the Bears. I want my get back for sure.
Players and coaches alike. So this one meant something to us.
Caleb, Ben mentioned that hearing the noise from the Packers leading up this weekend. Did you notice that? Is that something you took exception to, or what did the motivation from?
They wanted us. They wanted it, and they got it.
I'm trying to tell you, if you don't know now, you know. It's Chicago! Yeah!
Bear.
Bear?
Bear.
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 Bear. Bear.
Hey, go Pack, go the f*** home.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Score. The
Score. Man, pour one out for George Kittle. I'm pretty sure he did that in the locker room yesterday. This is Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on 670 The Score. We are delighted to have you join us today. We're always happy, but today we're delighted. How'd that get back feel, Packers? How'd that get back go for you? How'd come in here again go for you? How's all those fake play-by-play dudes who do that thing on the mic in Wisconsin? How are they today? I just want to know how everybody's feeling up there. That's all.
At the end of the day, it's after Packers always.
How are you feeling today?
You know what? I know I feel a lot better than anybody from north of the border. I can tell you that. I feel, first of all, sorry. But at the same time, I'm glad I am along for this ride, because this ride's been a long time coming.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And the Packers choked, and the Bears were awesome in the fourth quarter. Awesome in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, if we're doing petty Packers stuff right now, if that's where we're going right now,
yes,
that's what you guys are looking at me for here right now. Yeah, I tuned into Packers radio today, and you know what they were talking about today was? They were talking about firing their coach and whether the coach, let's take another call. Should Matt LaFleur be canned? Let's take another call. Oh, my God, I can't believe the Packers choked against the Bears. They did. Choke? You choked, Green Bay. Yes, you did. badly. And guess what? It's a new day, and this day is going to continue. So live with that, Green Bay. You got nothing. You have nothing today.
Well, that's funny, because everybody seemed to say last week that that was a far-fetched idea. John Harbaugh is available. Suddenly I'm hearing about the Upper Peninsula being a factor in a coaching search, which I still think the state of Wisconsin should have annexed. I don't care about your agreement, and I don't care about him today. The bottom line is 15 years in the making. This stretch could almost drive legally. And here we are talking about a feeling that is uncharted territory for me since living here 10 years. It feels different this time around, no matter how you put it. It puts other sadder benchmarks to bed. And now we're trying to figure out if I even still believe the Bears won that game.
And that's the thing, Layla, because I owe the Bears an apology. I picked against the Bears. I thought the Packers would win. You know why I thought the Packers would win? Because even after this game, they still have not run a single offensive play against the Packers this season in which they had the lead. Like, they haven't run an offensive play with a lead in three games, but yet they found a way to win two out of the three games. And understanding that even after Caleb Williams had already led six fourth quarter comebacks, to think that he couldn't do a seventh even while watching the game. Shame on me. I guess shame on all of us who thought that the game was over at some point, because the game clearly was not over until the final whistle went off.
Then be honest with yourselves. That's all of us.
Is it all of us?
Yes. And you know what? You don't have to tell me. This is not confessional. But just be honest with yourself in a private thought. Don't write it down. Don't type it in your notes app. Some other app will get a hold of it. Just be honest with yourself.
Yes. And if it makes you feel good to slam Marshall and I for picking the Packers, if them, and I get it, that's all part of it. That's I was right, you were wrong. If it makes you feel better, if that's your comfort area, we gave that to you. But there's no, like, and Layla picked the Bears, and she is saying it, and I think she's speaking for a lot of people who picked the Bears. You didn't think they were going to win that game. I'm not looking at you, Layla. I'm talking to the audience.
Okay, you can look at me.
Yes, you didn't think they were going to win that game at several times.
Several times.
Or at least maybe that's just, maybe
no,
I'm going
no,
back
I
to me.
I typed it in my Bears Google Docs several times.
Right. So
I was
so
like, oh, crap, this is over.
If you're being intellectually honest, Bears fans, again, if you need us, like, I'm here.
I'll be
punching
some
of the
today.
Comments. Yeah, I'm all for it. I don't care for the nasty, but the I was right, you were wrong, and like, that's all fun, because that's all part of it. So if you need it, we had the guts to pick the Packers. But I will say, I would like to quote the great Roma Dunze. As he was walking from the off the field into the locker room, the media is gathered, and Roma Dunze says, quote, y'all should know by now.
Yeah.
You all should know by now. And that's true. There's no there's no simple way to look at this and say, yep, that's where the Bears won the game. And it's that they were going to win coming in. We should know by now that it's going to be magic. It's going to be miraculous. You're right, Roma Dunze. We should know by now.
Mark, I have placed Les Grobstein's bobblehead facing you.
Oh, Les, where is he?
He's right here.
There he is. Hi,
He's
Les.
He's on the speaker.
KMA, right, Les?
Yeah, so what would Les be saying to you for doubting the Bears?
Oh my God, all you Packers fans wearing the urine yellow and the puke green out there. I see all you guys. It doesn't matter anymore. KMA, you're going to be bad for the next 10 years. Oh, I just love the crying that's going on, especially like listening to Javon Bullard, that cut they played during transition, and like just being, that's petty. Like, if we're going to play, is this petty? Like, it was us. Yeah, you did choke, but the Bears also played like superstars in the fourth quarter.
Narrator, this entire week will be petty. Yes, there is preparation for the Rams, but no. And also, guess what? It is a first for me today. This is my first Bears playoff win Monday.
Yeah, Layla. Let's go. Let's go.
I have a first.
This is it. How you feeling? Does it feel okay? You look good.
I don't know how to feel. Do you?
When you don't know how to feel, this is what I do. I look at the text line. Let me tell you something about how to feel. Some of these texts will tell you not only how you did feel, but maybe how you still feel, but understandable. They're all relatable. My favorite of these texts so far, 815. I did consider switching from vodka to bleach at halftime. Like that's where people were watching. The it was 21-3,
man.
And before it was 21-6 going into the fourth quarter, even at 21-3, I was like, look, I know they've made comebacks, but I'm watching Jordan Love do the things that I talked about him not being able to do. Like, you can't let him stand back there like a statue and just do what he wants. It was like a flashback to the first game. Was it not?
Oh, 100%. And that's where I also sit with this. Like, does it feel better or worse that they were down so much and you felt whatever you were watching at the time, and now you're having to deal with it on the other side? Like, what, you didn't get the outright whooping that you may have wanted. You also got to feel defeat in this game many times.
It was the agony of defeat. And then the way I described it when I talked about it after the game was, it's a roller coaster you know you've been on several times. You know what it's supposed to feel like. But that's why you keep getting back on your favorite roller coaster, because of the way you know it makes you feel, but it's so great. But this time, I literally thought the roller coaster was going to collapse and I was going to fall to my death. Is that a fair way of looking at it?
Yeah. Like, that of all the comebacks, that was the one I thought was the least probable.
Marshall, that might be your best analogy ever.
Because the roller coaster thing's real, right? And we all love a good... If you love roller coasters, you love the way it makes you feel when you're on it. Even though in your mind, you know, nothing's going to go wrong on this roller coaster. I'm just going up and down and sideways and maybe upside down. But on this particular ride, yeah. I was like, how long is this... When was the last time this roller coaster was serviced?
I'd like to add to the analogy, if I may.
Yes.
You ready for this? You ready for this? Okay, so if the fourth quarter is the ride, like, you get to go down, like, you're going up the Raging Bull, and now you're about to come down. The first three quarters is the two-hour line you have to stand in.
Ooh.
That's what that is. That's the line to get on Raging Bull. That's the line to get on the American Eagle. That's the line to get on the Batman ride. It sucks. It's painful. I'm thinking about, oh my God, are the Bears going to hold a 9 a.m. locker clean-out? I'm going to get home at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I got to get up 2 hours later to go to Halas Hall and talk to players who are going to be reflective about a horrible loss to Green Bay, and then we have to ask them about next season and all that stuff. I was dreading that.
You were thinking about questions already, were you?
Of course I was. Yes.
Can we agree, though, that we could just, you know, spend a little extra money and get Caleb and company a fast pass?
Fast pass.
Would that help?
Yeah, man. Skip the middle school kids with too much PDA in line.
Yeah, the fast pass is a dream. Yes, we want... That's what we'll work towards for this game. Like, I'm not giving up, like, for the Bears, like, to have four quarters of good football against the Rams. But we'll really work on that fast pass in the offseason. Write that down, Marshall
also,
Harris.
Also, we owe Tyler Farengul an apology.
Oh, what is...
Don't you remember he broke out his just gotten for Christmas Caleb Williams jersey for the game wearing green on Friday?
Yeah.
Tyler Farengul, you're apologized too. Also, Ray, thank you for sending the video where there is an edited version of It's Chicago and then there's the real version of It's Chicago. One of those we can say on the air and the other one we can't.
Back to the text line 815. I want to bottle this feeling up and sell it in Chicago to become a billionaire. And I think you could. I think you could sell what the exhilaration was in Saturday night. And if you told people you can do that all the time, people would sign up to ride that ride. Even though it takes you to a dark place.
It's a haunted house ride at Disney.
Yes, it's a haunted house.
It's the Disney where the floor drops.
Yes.
You guys ever been on that ride where literally the floor drops? That's what it is.
I love them all. So I think we have to ask this of ourselves, and you can ask, listen, just be honest with yourself and your heart right now. I'm not making you talk out loud. We'll do that at 10:45. At what point did you think this game was over?
I thought the game was over when the Bears couldn't score, not when they went for it on fourth and five from their own 32, because I understood that, and I was with that decision. I was like, this makes sense, because the middle eight is a thing, and I don't agree with Ben Johnson's decision to take the football. I understand what he was trying to do, but the middle eight's too important, especially in a game like this. I was like, if you know you can't stop them, you don't want to punt, and then they run out the rest of the clock and then score a touchdown or a field goal. At least this way, give your team a chance to hold them to a field goal. You get one more shot to score a touchdown, and that kind of gets you some momentum going into halftime. But when they didn't score at the end of the first half, that's when I was like, all right, this game's over. It's 21-3. And then when they missed the field goal, I was like, there's no way they're slowing this team down.
21-3, a buzzsaw. And at that point, over three games against the Packers, they had a total of 6 points to show for it. When was it for you?
It was the Matthew Golden 23-yard. It was 21-16 Green Bay. And in my mind, I'm like, they can do this, but the Bears have to be perfect. They have to be perfect in this quarter, in this half. He makes that deadly. Matthew Golden, the 23-yard catch and run where he's just bowling over guys. Like, I don't know, like Bears players were just falling at his feet as he runs into the end zone. It makes it 27-16. They do miss the extra point, 27-16 with 6:36 left. To me, that's where I was like, okay. It's as if I didn't already kind of think that with the halftime score. That was the point at which I'm like, I'm out. The Bears are going to lose this game because of that play.
So I was even more despondent earlier after 14-3 and seeing TJ Edwards go down on the cart. And then he's in an air cast. And I do think that they've done a better job with the turf. We all know that at Soldier Field. But there's so much slipping and falling and the surface combined with the weather. That was unfortunate to see. I'm worried about Ozzie Trapillo. That's a separate topic.
Yeah.
All of that said, for me, it seemed insurmountable at 14-3 by the way they were playing and how the defense just couldn't get a stop. And I kept thinking about what Matt Bowen said to Lawrence Holmes and Matt Spiegel when he talked about, number one, the Sophie's Choice of Manor zone, which they seemed to very much be in. Number two, at that point, it was only two drives in, right? And we hadn't seen Tyreek Stevenson or Kyler Gordon yet. I assumed Kyler Gordon was out. I don't know about you guys, but at that point I was like, I guess he's not coming in. And then additionally, after just seeing the way they were marching down the field, knowing the time of possession had been dominated so well. And then once it became 21-3, I was like, well, this is done. You know, because at that point they had drives of 85 yards, 456, 87 yards, 537. 32 yards, 319. The missed field goal, for whatever reason, was some sort of weird mojo. And at that point, you're just like, oh, they got to stop. It was a missed field goal because of the weather. I just felt that despondent watching the first half.
Yeah, I got to say, like, when... And I'm going to say this right now because there probably won't be a whole lot of kicker talk on the show today. Cairo Santos versus Sean or what's his first
Brandon.
Name?
Brandon McManus.
Cairo Santos, just saying it, 3 for 3, including a 51-yarder. McManus missed two field goals and an extra point. Usually, for whatever reason, when a team misses an extra point, it always seems to come back to get you in some way, shape, or form. And that's not necessarily the death knell to the team, but it's just a bad omen for a team, especially in a game like that when an extra point is missed. So shout out to Cairo Santos before that gets away from us.
So, I agree with you completely. Santos was flawless in this game. The 51-yard field goal was, I was holding my breath for that, but I was like, oh, you really got that.
Like, he misses weird ones, but then he makes important ones.
Yeah. He looked really good in the pregame. He looked really confident. He sounded really confident throughout the weekend. Not that he doesn't usually, but I will say this about Cairo Santos. There was an extra pep in his step throughout the weekend. Maybe that's everybody because it's Packers and we know the situation. We know the stakes, but he seemed ready for that.
No, he deserves credit. The special teams unit deserves credit because they also, Devin Duvernay had, I think, again, showed signs of life, like helped.
40-yarder?
Exactly. Just helped try to get the crowd going, help get the Bears going with field position when the adjustments seemed insurmountable. And then we see Kyler Gordon come back. We see Tyreek Stevenson, who I think, yeah, there were some issues with effort and prevent defense. But think about how he's still hustling and causes that fumble out of bounds at the goal line, that at least makes them have to go 4 more plays on that drive. Kyler Gordon had a stop on that drive. That makes them go 2 more plays. And it just seemed like that was the little by little by little, brick by brick, grain of sand by grain of sand.
And then we're like, whoa, it's actually happening after all that sand.
As far as when I knew this game was over, I told you that. But when I knew the Bears were alive, it was very simple. It was quite simple. When Golden missed that field goal, the last one, I was like, oh, well, the Bears are going to win now. Now it went back to, I understand what this team is, what their identity is, and you've given Caleb Williams a chance to win the game late.
So for you, it was that Pyrrhic victory before halftime.
Yeah.
It was big. I agree.
No. I'm saying the second field goal that he missed.
Oh.
The late one.
Oh. Whale and I were like, yeah,
no,
you're right.
No. When it was the fourth quarter and he missed the field goal
the
with 256.
Yarder, yeah.
When it was 256 left on the clock, I was like, oh, wait, the Bears actually could just take the lead on this drive. And Caleb Williams, as Ben Johnson has told us, is literally built for this. And he went and did what he is built for.
How bad did it feel that the Packers had the ball to start? The defense was great. And I know we're about to get into that. But didn't it just feel like such a loss moment that after that horrible first? And now the Packers have the football.
No, I mean, it's all, this game was a movie. So let's if you dare relive it. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. We broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. That's Marshall Harris. Mark Grody is with us as well. I'm Layla Rahimi. Our producers are Ray Diaz, Tyler Buterball with that incredible open. Brandon Fryer helps us out. We'll also get an assist today from Grant Leader. Our video team is Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis. You can join us on YouTube, 670 The Score on YouTube, if you dare. You can also do the same on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Our Twitch mob is strong. Welcome the new guys, Twitch mob. Let them know what's up. Welcome them to the show within a show. And if you want to call us and text us, and we know you do, 312-644-6767. So let's get into those halftime adjustments. I don't want to hear it, Bears coaches. I don't want y'all to pretend like, what halftime adjustments? I didn't order any halftime adjustments. Yes, you did. Bounce, chicka, bow, wow. So we're going to talk about that next.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Chicago can use the clock as well. Automatically, absolutely, right now, they're in field goal range. They want to get seven. They can use the clock. Williams throwing, and it's caught for the touchdown by DJ Moore. Forget about the clock. Just take the lead when you can. 25 yards, six plays, 66 yards in 68 seconds.
You adjusted, Bears. Admit it. Admit you adjusted, partially because you unfortunately had to because of some major injuries, but also because it was the right thing to do. We saw different looks at the half after the halftime intermission than we did in the first out of the defense. We saw different plays out of the offense. And that one, by the way, was a tremendous one. Darnell Wright was on the left side and Cole Kmet was playing right tackle. Absolutely outstanding. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And we're also asking the fun question today of how does that get back feel? Like when you see Packers fans who never listen to this station or reply to our tweets except on a day like today. Like this guy who replied to us on Twitter and says, cute coming from an organization that has been irrelevant for decades. How does it feel then to get beat by an organization that has been irrelevant for decades? How does it feel to be down 21-3 at the half? And then now you thought you were winning that game. How does that feel today?
Yeah, and how's it feel to be heading into irrelevance in general?
How does it feel to know that your coach is on the hot seat today?
Yeah, that's all they're talking about there.
Isn't it worse than that you were irrelevant for decades? I feel like it is.
The Chicago Bears pinned all Packers fans. That's what they did. They've been pinned, and now they're scrambling.
Oh,
they're scrambling.
You don't like it when you're not the ones winning? You don't like it when ownership of the Soldier Field crowd may be up for grabs?
Change is hard.
It's painful. It's a difficult, painful
pill to swallow. It's awkward. Yeah. It's painful. So, Packer, hey, we're here. You know what? We can make this a nice thing. You want to call us? We'll tell you what it's like, what you're going to go through over the next decade, what it's going to be like losing to the Bears
on
the regular.
Of winning?
Yeah. No, we're here for you. We'll give you verbal hugs. We'll explain how this is going to work for you, Green Bay. We'll explain. Like
I don't want to hug them.
I was very sports conscious in the 80s, so I've seen it. I've seen a decade of the Bears beating the Packers, so I understand what it's like. So, Packers fans, you're welcome here. We will take care of you, too.
Also, credit to our friend Alexis Marshall, who was the original poster of the teams from Wisconsin are 0-5 since the Brewers posed with the L. So just know that was the original poster.
Oh, we're coming for them too, by the way. Guy by the name of Alex Bregman now playing third base for the Chicago Cubs. We're coming for you too, Brew Crew.
And you know what, Jed Hoyer? Thank you. Thank you for starting the comeback because the Bears were down 21-6 when that news broke. And I have no idea why that was the time that it broke. And I get that other people's lives don't revolve around the Bears. And that probably includes the executive for another team. However, to process all of that, I remember we were upset about the game on our group thread. We were all texting amongst ourselves. And then all of a sudden, Grody breaks in with a text that just says, Bregman.
And I was like, what? Yes. And then I get the notifications from Jeff Passan, and I was like, oh, wait, is he talking? Oh, wait.
There was a discernible buzz in the, I don't want to like over-dramatize it because of, obviously there was heavy focus on what was going on the field at Soldier Field, but it was like playing telephone in the press box. Like just, oh, do you see the Bregman? You know, I got Emma sitting right next to him. He's losing his mind. Like I thought he was going to write 500 words on Alex Bregman being signed by the Cubs. Tom Ricketts was in the house. He was at Soldier Field. So it's like all this, like, PCA was in the house. There was some Bears-Cubs synergy going on at Soldier Field the other night, amongst other stuff. What a night, you guys. Like, Soldier Field was just before the game. I don't know if this was caught on television or not, but 20 minutes before the game, as I was doing my hit on the score with Olin, Pat, and Mully, the snow just came like a rampage of snow on Soldier Field. It was sticking. And then by the time the game started, it was completely clear. It was pristine. But it was like just the whole atmosphere was something to see at Soldier.
And then it started snowing later, right? It started snowing after the game ended.
After the game, yes, while we were doing the podcast.
Well, it was like a lighter snow, right?
Yeah, I'm sitting there, and I'm in one of the suites recording the podcast, and I'm looking over the empty field with the light still on and some workers. It's very romantic, the whole scene. And then all of a sudden, there's this whoosh of snow towards the south end zone, and I'm just sitting up there doing the podcast and kind of smiling. And then after we got off, I just sat there and just stared for about 10 minutes, got up, walked out, and went home.
It was a wonderful time. And for everybody who, A, followed Danny Parkin's instructions of being quiet on offense, B, brought the effing house down at Soldier Field, because I heard the crowd was as loud as it's ever been. Thank you to everybody who hung out and did that.
I feel like they were quiet on their own in the first half because there was nothing to really get up in arms about.
I don't know. Like, I think we're all prone to the heat of the moment and hyperbole when it comes to the crowd. It's possible it's the loudest crowd at Soldier Field. I don't know. But
it was shaking. Did you feel the shaking?
I didn't necessarily feel that. Now, maybe I missed it. Maybe I just missed the. But I think it's. And I got to tell you, like, in the press box, there's no windows open, so it's hard for us to really get a true feel for what the crowd is like. But having, you know, the 80s Bears, all the huge moments that have occurred with the Bears through the years, it's hard for me to just like say, yep, that's the loudest it's ever been. I'll give it like some credibility and the possibility of it, but I think we gotta like just take a deep breath when we start to talk about how loud it was at Soldier Field.
Well, I understand your caution there. I wanna add one thing. Adam Johns put out this tweet of a cup. This is the cup test. He had the cup sitting on the desk, I guess, the press box.
Yeah.
And it was vibrating. You saw the water moving.
That's, like, pretty good.
The T-Rex Jurassic Park test.
Jurassic Park, yes!
So the water was moving.
Must go faster.
And Jeff Goldblum has been making billions off of that now for the last 30 years.
Life finds a way.
312 says Spike Lee was at the game. I didn't
he
even
was,
see that.
He was, yes!
Oh,
the Bears posted a picture of him.
Everybody was there, man.
That's right, Spike. No more trying to give Pope Leo a Knicks jersey. You're in it now.
Yeah, thanks, Pope.
You're in it. Yeah, another thank you to the Pope.
And thanks, Al Michaels, Pope. Is what, 81 years old, and he said it was the loudest game he had ever called at Soldier Field.
So that's pretty good.
He likes it here. Like, I know he enjoys coming to Chicago. Kirk Herbstreit, I think, from an analysis standpoint, did a good job. I think there were times where even they were at a loss for words. At one point, I'm pretty sure Al called Loveland Komet, but everybody makes mistakes. It's like us talking on the air for 4 hours. I just don't. If you're conveying the emotion to everybody at home and the information in the way that they did, I'm not complaining.
His dog is adorable, though. Like, I was on the field.
Peter?
Is that the name of the pup?
I believe so.
He's just a beautiful golden retriever. It was so funny because, you know, hours before the game, I just went and sat in the stands, empty, just watching a few players come out, and this beautiful golden retriever comes out, and everybody loved the pup. It was beautiful.
Peter Herbstreit. Does he hang out with Kevin Rizzo?
But possibly.
I want to get to this while we have some time, and we are going to take our calls at 1045, 312-644-6767. We talked about at what point you thought it was over. And then there's the at what point you realize they really did do some things differently in the second half. For me, it was exactly what we talked about. You know, that's the beauty of a team who's not afraid to tell you about what works for them and what doesn't. We knew that they showed a lot of pressure on Jordan Love in the past two games, specifically the one on December 20th, and that Jordan Love was picking it apart fairly well. We knew that if they ran crossing routes against the Bears defense, knowing that Jalen Johnson isn't healthy, knowing that Kyler Gordon isn't healthy, you see TJ Edwards go down, that was going to be successful. Poor Andrew Billings goes out with a hip injury. So a lot of reliable names for the Bears defense, even in an injured state, go down. And then they started bringing the pressure in a way that they had not all season against this Packers team. That was the big adjustment for me, was watching that change and understanding they could indeed get stops that they had not previously. It looked like two different teams.
Totally.
Yeah, and it seemed like the persistence paid off in the second half, and there just wasn't that persistent push from the front, whether it was the front four or the extra man that actually got home or close to home. It wasn't like they were sitting here throwing Jordan Love to the ground like a rag doll, but you could see he was more tenuous in the second half than he was in the first half.
Changing the timing. Just, dude, rattle the cage.
I mean, 231 yards total in the first half is what the Bears defense allowed Green Bay to do. Four straight punts to start. I didn't see that coming. I did not see that coming.
Three and out. I was like,
three and out as well. Yes.
The idea that they could get someone off the, and that's why 21-3 felt so bad, because it's like, well, they're definitely going to take 5 minutes plus off the clock every time they have the ball in the third quarter. So can you come up with some turnovers is all I was thinking.
Pressure.
So,
they put pressure on. That's what they did.
The time, I don't know about you guys, but I had to consolidate notes from other notes and other formats. The time of possession that the Bears lost to Green Bay in the previous game.
Yes.
Was In the game that they won 22-16 overtime, Green Bay had 38-57 mm-hmm. in time of possession compared to 26-13 for Chicago. That explains the fourth down concepts. I didn't even care. Like, if I had told you there's a game where Torrey Taylor isn't going to punt, you're going to be like, oh, Bears 100, Packers 0, wrong. Like, they were doing this because they had to for their lives to try to get every single inch back. Then you factor into that how they planned it out defensively, and that's what made those three and outs so crucial coming into this.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is the Bears on offense were actually converting third downs on that first drive, and you made you think, okay, they figured it out mm-hmm. as far as what they're doing early, but you know, fool's gold is his thing, and that's what the Bears were working with in the first quarter of that game. The 2-for-6 on fourth down, and just like, you understood very quickly, oh, they're going to be going for it pretty much unless it's fourth and double digits.
It's on. Yeah.
It's on.
So the drives go as follows for the Packers in the first half. Touchdown, 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 missed field goal, which was my first size of life. I was like, oh, something can stop them. Then it was punt, 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 touchdown, missed field goal.
It's crazy.
So to force those punts in succession, and then the Bears answered with field goal after the punt, the interception, which didn't hurt them because the Bears or the Packers ended up having to punt, field goal, punt, touchdown. They get the touchdown in the fourth quarter, and that was indeed after the announcement about Alex Bregman.
Bregman.
Took him long enough, right?
Ten minutes
left in the game, they score their first touchdown. Then it was touchdown Green Bay, missed extra point, touchdown, missed field goal, touchdown, end of game. Did you think that there was too much time left at the end?
Oh,
of course,
yeah.
I thought.
Who didn't?
And it's those last two plays. It was like, bam, bam, touchdown. I was like, whoa. I think I put it in the group test. Like, that's way too much time.
Can I make a quick prediction? Because people love my predictions. I think that Alex Bregman will be at the Bears game next week.
You better be at the Bears game, Alex Bregman.
Am I right, guys?
You got Cubs convention.
Can I get a
what?
Yeah.
Cubs convention flows right into it.
Oh, my God. There could be lots of Cubs
players.
The whole team. I'm going to get that.
Are you saying that because of the Pope? Why are you saying holy over and over again?
Oh, no, maybe that is.
Because he can't say the cuss word.
I got that Pope in my mind.
Holy snap.
That's right. Yeah, Pope,
holy snap.
Pope gets a shout out. Shout out to the Pope. Yep.
You know what? Has there ever been a more preemptively successful player than us blaming Alex Bregman for helping the Bears win their first playoff game in 15 years?
He's got to be there.
We call that an impact player right there.
PCA will be there.
Congratulations, Alex Bregman. You've won your first Bears playoff game. What?
Shota will be there, smiling.
He will be smiling.
He'll have his towel on.
Guys, we would all take the same contract. Don't take it out on Shota's wonderful personality, okay?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
can
he's going
to agree to that?
I'm leaving the pitch. I am just saying, I want to see his smiling, towel-wearing self at the Bears game.
I would like him with more clothes, but okay. I mean, if that's a thing. 312-644-6767. Why don't you call us and troll Green Bay a little bit?
Yeah.
Maybe all those people on Twitter are the ones who only listen to this station when it's Packers time. We'll hear you. And if not, I will. Call us.
Listen to Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
This is Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on 670 The Score, and we have a ton of calls. Our phones are lit the hell up, so let's get into it. We are going to start with Mark in Michigan. Mark, you're on Rahimi, Harris, and Grody.
Oh, awesome. Thanks, you guys. I greatly appreciate it. Hey, I just can't say enough of fulfilling my son's dreams. We drove down from Michigan, and we got to see the Bears in a playoff game and beat the Pack. It was just the icing on the cake, but really, what I wanted to call the attention to more so is on the way down, you guys did an amazing interview with John DeMore, the 92-year-old oldest living Bear.
Bear. Yeah, that was Steve Rosenblum.
Who, appropriate. Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. And it was so heartwarming to hear it. But here is the question I have. Is there any way that we can find a way to get him to the next game, the playoff game against the Rams? He mentioned in the interview he can no longer, he has a hard time walking. He watches the game from his house. How cool would it be for him and his wife to be picked up by a vehicle and taken to a Bears game in a box? I mean, 92 years old, oldest living Bear, to be able to see that would be absolutely amazing.
If he wants to go, I'm sure they'd find a suite for him. I don't know if at this point he would want to. He might be way more comfortable at the age of 92 watching that game from his living room.
Yeah, you're right, though, Mark. As people want to dedicate that Bears playoff win to, and it reminds me of when I was moved to tears after hearing everybody dedicate the Cubs World Series to a family member who is either older in life or had passed on. I think that is a wonderful gesture. So to John DeMore, who got to see a Bears playoff win for the first time in 15 years, we salute you. And I have every confidence that the Bears would try to get him to the game if he wanted to go.
This was on Saturday with Steve Rosenblum. You go back and check it out in the beautiful part. And Mitch Rosen, our boss, tipped me off to this. He does sound like a Chicago guy. He does have the whole accent, the whole thing, and he's 92, which is cool.
Absolutely. So very kind of you, Mark, to think of him, and we're glad you got to check out that interview. Ray, who should we go to next? I'm
going to go to
ask
Steve.
You.
Wonder Lake.
Steve. Steve, score.
Layla,
what's up?
Marshall Grody. How you guys doing?
Great.
Oh, we're on cloud nine. We're floating.
I just wanted to hear your thoughts. I came into this season, huge Bears fan. I was hoping for 9 wins. Caleb DeGrow. And here we are now. Caleb's grown into the Iceman. And we're in the divisional playoffs hosting the Rams. Bring on the Rams, that warm weather team, come to Chicago, 20 degrees, windy weather, let's go.
I like your hope. I don't love the quality of your cell phone line, but other than that, I appreciate it, Steve. We continue with our calls, 312-644-6767. We go to Dave in Berwyn. Dave, you're on Rahimi, Harris, and Grody.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
If the Pope is listening, I have a confession.
Okay.
I did bail after the Matthew Golden touchdown.
Oh.
There's a story. There's a story.
Okay, well, there's 13 Our Fathers right there. Go on.
Okay. Thank you. I got some, and I'm going to try to keep it together. I got some bad life news.
Oh.
And this is keeping me going.
You all right, Dave? We got your back,
yeah.
Buddy. We got you. We got you. We're
yeah,
here.
I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
It's okay, but, Dave.
No, that's the point.
God, in the middle of the night, I found out they won, and it was hard to get up because I didn't want to get up because of my life news, but that got me up. I found it on Amazon, and I watched the second half, and honestly, that got me going the rest of the day. That got me here to work today, and crazy. Well, stupid team, stupid Bears game, and this is what's got me going.
Yep, crazy, it's crazy. It's crazy, thank man. You. Dave, we got
Dave,
you, buddy.
Thank you. Love you, buddy. And we will think a good thought for you, and just know that when you want to escape, we are here. We will make all the jokes and make all the fart jokes.
Isn't that the thing?
And I think you still get Bears, even because you confessed. Well, you're forgiven. I think you're still allowed to say that and watch the game on delay. You're still good with us.
So. I love this, by the way. I don't love that, Dave, that, you know, whatever he's going through, and I hope he can get through whatever he's going through. But that's when I love this station and this form of broadcasting, the intimacy of radio, and what we've got, like 30 people who want to call. Like, this is the essence, man, and this is what the Score does. We are here. Like, we talked before the show. This is going to be an amazing week on the Score. This is what the Score was built for. Period.
Bears up, prayers up. Dave, Bears it's up. Not just you. This is something you can lean into with us and with really the way this city is moving now after a win like that for at least a week and really for an offseason if we're keeping it 100.
And you're right, Dave. That's the community, and I think the Bears should know that meant so much to you. You
city
still with
United.
Us? Or are you? Did he fall off the line? Is he still with us?
No, I'm still here.
Okay,
and
great.
I appreciate everything, guys. And honestly, this is really honestly keeping me going. And I don't know where I'd be if there was another loss, because I was like, I saw this movie before. I'm going to bed. It was tough to get out of bed in the morning and find it on Amazon, but I did, and that kept me going yesterday and got me up today. So go Bears.
Keep getting up, Dave. Keep getting up.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And you can call us anytime, Dave. Thank you.
Thank you, Layla.
Guys, think a good thought for Dave.
Of
no,
course.
Definitely a good thought, and just understanding that he did see the same movie and thought same movie. But that movie is changing now. 7 comeback wins is all I'm saying in the fourth quarter for Caleb Williams and company.
We keep it going on the phones. Jake and Evanston, you're on Raheem Harris and Grody.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning to you.
So honored to follow Dave in that call, because I can just echo everything he said. Been listening to the Score since I was a child with my father. I'm 41 years old now. So thank you to Dave for sharing that. And I echo his sentiments. And thank you for the show, guys.
Thanks, Jake.
Cheers to that.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Jake.
Anyways, and on to the fun part of life. Bears right now, which Bears. Brings us all together. Nothing like the city when the Bears are winning.
It's...
I'm a big Cairo Santos fan. And Cairo Santos, in game 2 against the Packers, I also have become a big fan of the band Fish. They have a song called Say It To Me Santos. And during that game 2 against the Packers, they played Say It To Me Santos. And since then, I am on board. And I'm going to bring up his stats against the Packers now, because they are pretty fantastic, because Pat Manley's going to love these. Cairo Santos, 3-game totals versus the Packers. 8 in field goals. 4 for 4 in extra points. 1 onside kick recovered.
Mm.
1 tackle on Josh Jacobs for a game-saving TD.
Sang it.
And, for fun, 1 flag for an illegal kick. What I was calling a butthead hat trick, so to speak.
Love
so
that.
Kudos to Cairo Santos and keeping us in it. That's all I got.
Well, Kevin Butler reference right
Jake,
there for you kids out there.
That was fantastic. And you know what, Fish, I think Fish dominates a lot of people's lives, and I like it that way.
I love to bounce around the room a little bit every once in a while. Put out a little Fish, a little vibe, a little whatnot.
It is definitely a different vibe.
It's a vibe.
Trey Anastasio and company get a little jam band.
Yeah,
I get it. I like it. It inspired you to bring up good stats. So, Jake, we thank you. We have more to come on this really special edition. I don't say that very often because it's usually referring to an after-school special. Of Raheem Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. We got to hear from Anthony Heron. What did he think about the defensive changes in this game? How does he feel watching his hometown team get the win in a playoff game? We'll talk to Big Ant next.